You can turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Ruth. Now, Ruth is after Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. Small little book, but I've been getting a blessing out of it. Read it quite a few times this week. Getting so old, my fingers don't work. I'm going to rereading in the first chapter, and I just want to you follow along with me, if you will. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrates of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each of to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why wilt you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband, and if I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them until they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. It's a beautiful story. That last verse people have used. Am I missing anything? Okay. Wave at me like that, saying, I don't know what you're saying. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, we're talking about three deaths. Sometimes we think about, you know, a lot of things. I was thinking here just a while back, I don't want to have to bury my children. I don't want to live that long. I didn't like burying my parents and my sister and my brother-in-law and different ones. You know, they're old. They're ready to die. It's their time. We know death is coming for all of us. And yet, she looks at this as God being against her. Now, you would normally think that, wouldn't you? I would. If something happened in my life like that, wow. Three deaths leaves three widows. Now bless your heart. A widow in this day and time was in much worse shape than a widow in our day and time. Women didn't have women's rights. There weren't a lot of things going on like that, you know. And so they had a husband or they had a family and whatever. Three widows, great loss. And a decision time. What you going to do? You going to stay here in Moab? You going to go back to Judah? You went out full. And Naomi says it. I went out full. And man, the Lord is against me. Taking trouble to me. Well, you'd believe that. If I get sick, yeah, I don't want to get sick. You don't want to get sick. Some people have one disease after another, and some of us just get old. But whatever, there's problems in life. Where do you go for help? Who do you go see? Some of you right now are brokenhearted. You had a great setback. You don't understand, and nobody else does either. There's a lot of things in life that are just not understandable to us in the normal vein of life. Now, there is something, though, that we need to think about, and it's faith. I remember after I'd been saved for a year or two or three, going to college, and all these different preachers and different ones with different ideas, and we argued about everything under the sun, you know? And something like this Ruth here. Is God really against her? Should she take it as God being against her? And anyway, Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters, will you go with me? I have no more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands." And you know, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And they went back to Judah. And by the way, that wasn't an easy little trip. I don't have an idea how far Moab was away. I didn't look it up or try to think about it. But it wasn't an easy trip. They were walking. They didn't have horses. They didn't have carriages. There was no stagecoach ride. There wasn't a train. They couldn't get on a plane. Couldn't get to a boat. Whatever they needed. And so they headed home to Judah. I thought about what Ruth said in verse 16. "I will go where thou lodgest. I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." And she made a decision. That's an interesting decision. We've all got a lot of different opinions on certain things. And we have arguments, and we decide who's right, who's doing whatever, you know. And we think about a whole lot of things like that. Why? It was a verse of scripture. In Genesis 18:25. It says, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" That's Abraham. Now Abraham is in this argument with God. Of course, he's worried about his nephew Lot, which was like a son to him because he didn't have any children at the time. And he's loved Lot, grew up with him. Lot left with him, left his father to go to be with Abraham in this new land wherever he was going to go. I remember going to, after college, after I got my degree from college, I went to the seminary. And we were arguing over, is God a good God? How can you prove God's a good God? Or is God a bad God? Because some people think God's a bad God. Well, to prove God's a good God, we can think of all the things we enjoy. We can think of all the food that he gives us. We think about giving us life, and life brings us a great deal of pleasure. Well, on the other side of that, why, there's sickness, there's COVID-19, There's the flu, there's pneumonia, there's death. All sorts of things coming around. So God's a bad God. Why did he allow death? Why did he allow pain? Why did he allow all these things? And the argument goes both ways as you have different people out here putting up their side. But Abraham said something. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And I remember it hit me. It was a beautiful, beautiful time for me. I don't have to prove it. I can't prove it one way or the other. But what I do understand is, by faith, I believe God is a good God. And that was Abraham's faith. Now, if you've got the faith of Abraham, then you're going to know that God was a good God, is a good God. And some of these other things, you just have to take a little faith. If you know that God is the judge of all the earth, and you know that he's going to be right, then you can take everything that comes your way and put it in that context. God is a good God, even though I had death in my family. God is a good God, even though I had a wreck. God is a good God, even though I had a flat. Sometimes we don't know what's happening, and in many of these cases, like right here, Ruth is going to have a son. And that son is going to be the grandfather of King David. And that puts him in the line of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Now, I don't know what all had to go around. I don't know what they had to do to get everything to work that way, but I'm going to trust that God did it the best way possible. Now, that didn't help that there were three widows and three deaths and three burials and then having to go back to home country, you know, and whatever. Can you believe God's a good God? I can. And I settled it way back there. This is 40 years ago, 30 years ago. God is a good God. Now, sometimes I don't feel like that. I'm hurting. I'm sick. I'm miserable. Everything doesn't go my way. Have you found that life doesn't go all your way? It's an amazing. The things you expect to have, that you want to have, you don't necessarily get. That doesn't mean God's a bad God. He might have saved you from an awful lot of trouble. In fact, I've lived long enough to see a little bit of trouble. And I guarantee you, all of my decisions weren't right. I wish I could say they were, but they weren't. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Wow, she says, I went out full. I had a husband. I had two sons. And I'm coming back empty. The Lord's hand has been against me. Pretty hard for her to think at that time right there, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Can you believe that? Sometimes it's hard to believe. When some disasters are coming your way and some disappointments come your way, setbacks come your way, you think God doesn't care for me. I've had people that don't even want to pray. They don't think about praying because God won't hear them. Well, you know what? The Bible says God likes people to pray. And maybe if you'd pray and ask God to forgive you, he'd listen. He'd listen. He careth for you. What a statement there. That's just like the judge of all the earth to do right. He careth for you. Now, Danny was teaching us about in a marriage, we ought to care for each other. And it's amazing how much we could improve our marriages by just a little bit of courtesy. Just respect your wife or your husband as much as you respect the neighbor next door. You don't go out and yell at the neighbor next door. I don't think you do. I hope you don't. Or maybe you're one of those that do. God careth for you. He cares for you. Can you believe he cares for you? You know what? There was a blind man that was blind from his birth. 38 years. And Jesus came along and gave him his sight. And his disciples asked him a question, said, who did sin that this man was born blind, him or his parents? What a stupid question. What a stupid question. How could he sin? In the womb? No. He said, this is for the glory of God. Sometimes a soldier has to lay down his life. And you know what? When you sign up to be a soldier, you're giving up your rights to your life. You're saying, I'll go fight. I'll go put myself on the line. I may not come back. In World War II, there was Sullivan. I'm not sure now. That's out of my head. But there were five brothers in World War II. And all five of them joined the Navy. And all five of them got on the same ship. And all five of them died at sea. Do you reckon that family suffered? Not just one son. Not two, five. All of your sons. Wiped out. It's an amazing thing. You know, we can't picture our life in this life, in the context of disease, accidents, problems, other people that affect us, we sometimes have a real hard time thinking, he cares for me. But he does. He does. He does care for him. Can you trust him? Well, Naomi goes back home. She makes the trip. She comes back to Bethlehem. And my, she had been gone 10, 12 years. They still know her. And she comes back with this one daughter-in-law. And I'm sure the daughter-in-law had helped her along. I'm sure they were walking the things. And I don't walk that well anymore. I sure wouldn't hate to walk. I would hate to walk from Moab to Bethlehem today. I'm afraid it'd take me a month or two. Does God care? I believe he does. I believe God does care for his children. I believe he does. I believe he has a heart that reaches out with love. I love this song Eddie, that y'all sang, your quartet sang. Wow. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, he cares. Yes, he cares. You may not think that He really pays attention to your prayers, or he pays attention to your needs, but he does. And that's the testimony of the Bible. Can you trust God to care for you in the normal circumstances of life? Well, going back to the story, our four little chapters about this young lady from Moab, Ruth. She comes back home with her mother-in-law. She left her family, she left her nation, she left her gods, and she told her, when she told Naomi, that your God will be my God. Maybe she saw a testimony of the life of Naomi as she's her daughter-in-law, and she evidently loved her very much, and saw a testimony of the God that she served. Maybe she heard her talk about different things, and maybe she saw her pray or whatever. I'm not sure exactly how it is, but Ruth came to the place she wanted to be with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Now, we got a lot of mother-in-law jokes. Sorry about your mother-in-laws, but there's a lot of mother-in-law jokes that go around, you know. Most of them aren't true. It's just the making fun of something like that. I had a good mother-in-law. And I hope I'm a good father-in-law. I'm not sure that I am, but I hope so at any rate. Naomi and Ruth come back home, and they get them a house, and they stay in there somewhere in Bethlehem. Now, they reap the fields more by hand than any way else. Barley harvest. Ruth says, well, you know, I'm going to go out and see if I can have mercy, if somebody will let me get in the barley harvest and just take what's left over. That's the way they did for poor people in those days. The big rich man, the big rancher, he might cut the corners of his fields if he had a horse and a plow or doing something else like a cutter, some thought. And they would leave that for the poor people. So that's what Ruth decided to do. And she went out and got in this field, and the Bible says her hap, H-A-P, the happenstance, chance, she got into Boaz's field. Now, Boaz is a rich relative. He not only is a relative of her dead husband, he was a rich one. And he lived in the town, and he's coming out into this field, wherever it was, and he sees this young lady. And he asked his supervisor, he said, who's this? Oh, that's Ruth, the Moabitess damsel that came with Naomi. Well, he walks over and he tells her, he said, I'll tell you what you do. You stay with my damsels and you stay with my young men. I've told them they're not going to mess with you. They don't touch you at all. And they're going to let you eat with them and you can drink water. You don't have to. And you go in and you just go ahead and glean after the reapers. And she falls down on her face and she says, why are you having mercy on me? I'm a stranger. Why are you treating me this way? He said, I have heard what you did for your mother-in-law. Hey, sometimes it comes out, comes home to you, doesn't it? What you do bad comes home to you. Sometimes what you do good comes home to you. And so he told her to go with his people and stay with his people and keep on reaping with them. Well, she got home and she had a lot of barley to bring to the family and they could eat. And Naomi said, well, you know, I need to take care and get you a husband. Would you like me to do that for you? She said, yes. She told her what to do. Told her to go over to the different people have different customs. Sometimes you can do something and it really insults her and offends people and you don't even know it because you don't know that they have certain thoughts, certain ways. And I'm a tease. I like to tease people, and so I sometimes say the wrong thing. Anybody with me on the wrong thing? Yeah, there's a few of us, aren't there? I have opened my stupid mouth and caused me much, much trouble and given people an opinion of me. Well, anyway, she told her how to do it. And she said, now don't go to him until he's eaten and drank. He's laid down to rest. Then you go out, and this is their custom. I only get it from the Bible. I haven't seen it in my life. She was to go out and uncover his feet and lay down. He turns over in the night and there's a woman there. He said, who are you? Who are you? I'm Ruth. And she says, spread your skirt over me. Now, I wouldn't have thought of saying that either. She's at his feet. He wakes up and turns and there's a woman at his feet and he says, who are you? And she tells him her name. Her name was Ruth. And he'd met her in the day. And she said, spread your skirt over me. Well, that was the way that in Israel, if a man died and he left no children, then the family nearest the relatives to him was to take his wife and marry her and raise up children to the man that died. So his name didn't go out. And he said, I'll do it. And so he went and he said, there's one other fellow that has the opportunity to do this. He's a little closer relative than I am, but I'm next unto him. And so the next day he gets out there at the gate. And here's another thing. Do you ever take off your shoe when you buy a house? When you buy land, do you take your shoe off? Well, as you read Ruth, you're going to notice that happens. That was a sign that they were passing the property value, you know, of this one place. He goes and tells him, well, you know, Naomi's come back and she's got this land that was Elimelech's and she's wanting to sell it, and said, if you want to buy it, why, you go ahead. The guy said, I'll buy it. He said, oh, there's one thing you might think about. When you buy it, you also get the wife of one of her sons. You're buying it of Ruth, not only just Naomi. And so you need to raise up children to the dead. Whoa. I don't think I'll buy this one. So he backs out. Well, Boaz goes ahead. He buys the thing. He marries the girl. She has a child. And that child is David's grandfather. And that's the history of it. That's what about. I don't know that God had to have three men die to get Ruth into the line of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I understand some things like that. But think with me about a fellow by the name of Job. Job's a good man. Everybody knows he's a good man. His testimony is absolutely marvelous. And in fact, God points him out to Satan. Have you considered my servant Job? Wow. That's high praise. Job says, yeah, you do this to him, you do that to him. You do everything for him, you protect him, you bless him, whatever. Take everything away from him, he'll curse you to your face. He said, he's in your hands. Now that scares me. I don't want to do what Job had to do. But Job is winning a victory on a higher plane in a different battlefield than you and I can ever see. We're going to see it someday, but right now we can't see it. We see our little old thing here with our little divided country and our little election, and we get all upset one thing or another. And it's not really the real main issue. The main issue is something you can't see. So he strikes him. He takes 10 children. 10 children. They all die. And then here's Job, who's been healthy and strong and whatever. He puts all sorts of stuff on him, and he's got boils coming out of him everywhere. In fact, he's out sitting on a trash dump so they don't have to clean up after him inside. And he's got an old broken pot, and he's scraping the scabs off and getting the pus out. My wife didn't do well with vomit and pus. She just had a little stomach problem, and she had 5 kids, so she did her share. I'm going to have to apologize to Mrs. Lot when I get to glory. Because when I was a young Christian, I really just got upset. She's going out to her husband. She said, man, good night, don't you recognize that God's against you? Don't you recognize you're going to maintain this pose, this faith that you've had? Why don't you just curse God and die? Let me tell you, Job isn't the only one that lost 10 children. His wife lost 10 children too. That is a very big thing. That is a very big thing. And I think it's even bigger for women because they bear the child. I don't understand women that don't love their children, but there are plenty that don't. At any rate, you think about Job. And he's out there, and he says, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not receive evil? Well, how about that? A good parent not only gives gifts, but spanks. I'm sorry if you don't agree with me, but you're wrong. You need to discipline your children if you love them. You need to get them self-control. They need to be able to control their own actions and what they're going to do. And if you don't, then those police you want to defund are going to pick him up and put him in jail for a while. Or if he resists them, they're liable to break his neck. These guys are taught to handle people that resist them. Wow. But here's Mr. and Ms. Job. She not only lost 10 children, she lost a good husband. Well, you say he's still there. Yeah, he's here. He's a puss bag. Any of you want to date a puss bag? He's out there scraping wounds. He's running puss down him. He's sitting out on the trash dump. This is the man that was rich. This is the man that could make decisions. This was the man that was a leader in his community. This is a righteous man. And she's telling him, don't you understand? Why don't you just curse God and die? And I think I would rather die than bury 10 children. But Job, this is a great man. Even the thought of anybody being like him. Shall receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil also. That's a bit of faith. That's equal to Abraham's faith. Maybe more. Can you trust God? Abraham trusted God. And God told him, you didn't lose. You didn't lose. You won. Moses trusted God. God told him, you didn't lose, you won, boy. He counted the treasures of heaven greater than the treasures of Egypt. What will you do if your business goes down and you're broke? How will you act towards God? Can you trust God when everything's going wrong? I remember when Danny was going through that trial of his educated in this petroleum engineering, and he can't find a job. Eddie here a while back, he was looking for a job. He's got a college degree. He's got a lot of years in business and whatever. He can't find a job. Well, he's got one now. There's a little girl that is really keeping him busy. And he's enjoying every minute of it. What are you going to do? What's going to happen to you? Can you trust God that if something bad comes your way, that you could say what Job says, I've received good at the hand of the Lord, I can receive evil at the hand of the Lord. And recognize that even though it comes from the devil, it can't come without God's at least permission. You're in the hand of God. Are you saved? Has Christ paid the debt for your sins? Oh, wow. What a something. What difference does it make down here? So you lose your house. So you lose your car. So you lose your health. If you have eternal life, that death is going to just usher you into the presence of God. Can you trust him? Well, God said back to Abraham, back in Genesis, he said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You gotta take a look at what you're dealing with. Are you dealing with down here? 4-bedroom house down here? A brand new car down here? Are you dealing with a mansion in glory? Can you trust him? The Bible in Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a promise. Have you got that promise in your mind? Can you take that home? He cares for me and he will never leave me and never forsake me. That'd make you feel better on some of those bad days you've got. If you could take that, that's faith. That's what we're talking about faith. Faith is taking the promises of God and applying them to your life. What a beautiful thing to do. I know God is a good God by faith. I can't prove it. All the things I can say positive, you can turn around and take negative. But I tell you what, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. Job, verse 21. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. This is a rich man. He had been a very, very rich man. And naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I've been preaching 63 years. I've heard some people that were going through suffering really challenge God. Don't do it. Nobody loves you like God loves you. Nobody cares for you and your opinion and your heart like God does. Don't turn on God just because circumstances have changed for you. Every single one of us knows we don't have any guarantee of success down here. There's sorrow, there's trouble, there are accidents, there's wickedness, there are diseases, they're crazy people. Just turn on your news. It's loaded with crazy people. Am I right? He said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Now that's a little bit of faith, friend. Though I'm not going to come out of this, though I'm not going to ever be delivered, though I'm not going to be resurrected, even if he slays me, I'll still trust him. Amen. Who else can you trust? He's got the promises there. This is a promise book, bless your heart. There are some beautiful passages of scripture in this that will lift your spirits every day. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's another one that's changed my life somewhat. Romans 12:19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He didn't say it was yours. He said it was his. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, a lot of people really get themselves into trouble when they decide to get even. I went a long time, and every once in a while I feel the urge to pay somebody back. Anybody ever feel that urge? Husbands and wives do it all the time, and you shouldn't do it. I had an incident happen to me. Now, I was a little sissy when I was a kid. I played with my sister who was 7 years older than me, and my cousin who was 7 years older than me, and I was their little baby, and I was their dress-up, and we were out on a farm, you know. Well, I moved into town, and when World War II came, My father got a job at Kelly Field. He bought a house on the south side out in Burbank area. And I'm moving next door to two guys. One of them was 13 days younger than me, and the other was 2 years older. And they beat up on me every day. And I'd run into Daddy. Charlie did this, Jimmy did it. And finally, after 3 or 4 times, I think, he said, if they whip you again, I'm going to whip you. Whoa. That'll get your attention. My moderate dad, this guy who handles everything right, he says he's going to beat my bottom if I come crying into there again. I'm 6 years old. I went out and whipped the one that was closest to me and then got whipped by the one that was 2 years older. But I didn't run in and tell Dad. Well, I became a fighter, and I fought a lot of times. I did do a lot of fighting when I was young. And even into when I went into the service at 18 or 19 years old, I had a fight or two in the military. Get the barracks, go down to the basement, and you duke it out. And sometimes I still want to. Oh, man, I want to sometimes. I had an experience. I won't go into it again, but I went to somebody who had done my father wrong and me wrong. And I wanted to beat the snot out of him. You ever felt that way? I think male and female, you both feel that way. I want to pay them back. I want them to suffer a little bit for what they've caused me. And this verse came to my mind, Romans 12:19. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Can you trust God? Can you trust God with His word? Is He telling the truth? Is God going to make everything right? Well, then if I go in there and let's just say I win. I didn't win every fight I ever fought. I lost a few. In fact, one day I got whipped by an old boy, a pretty good boxer. My mother looks at me in the morning and won't know what gang beat me up. But I come to this and I said, God, I'm going to trust you. And if I go back and if I hit this guy and I blind him or kill him or whatever, then now God owes me. I switched the thing of being the one that has been wrong to being the one that does too much wrong to the other one. And now God's got it. If you're going to make it all right, He's going to have to even that out. And I put myself on the wrong side of God. That was hard for me to do the first time. Well, it's sort of hard even now. I had an incident that happened here a while back. I had two medical doctors lie to me, and I found out about it. You know what? Those little cuss words are still up there. Now, I didn't say them, but I thought them. And I wanted to get them. And then I said, you know, you're forgetting, Lendell. Romans 12:19 says, avenge not yourselves. Give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Can you trust God to pay your debts? Can you trust God to take care of you? Can you trust God that His word is truth? What do you do by faith? How do you live by faith? Well, you take a truth of the scripture and apply it to your life and walk out with comfort. Walk out with peace. Not with anger, not with bawling all over, but praise God, I lay them in your hands. It's called faith. And that's what these verses were written for. Sometimes we have a little problem with the Beatitudes. The Blesseds. Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. We don't think that way. Blessed are they that mourn. Oh, who wants to mourn? Blessed are the meek. No, who's the strong and courageous and whatever? Can you trust God? Can you trust God? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We have a hard time with these blessed sayings. The natural mind simply cannot receive them. But you know what I believe? I believe they're the truth. I believe this Bible is true. I believe the promises he makes are real. I believe we ought to live by them, and they ought to come out practically in our lives. What is your exceeding great reward? God. Salvation. God. What are you running around after all this other stuff for? Why are you so upset about not having everything that some athlete has or some movie star has or some politician has? Let's just believe God. Just believe God and you'll have a much happier life. You'll raise happier kids. You raise somebody to trust in God. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the great